Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Thought that we'd start off the year just before we get into the Who Says series. The team said, you know, it'd be good to think about and talk about vision and values. Vision may be, in my opinion, one of the most overused words in all of business books that you might read, and definitely in the church world, vision. And it seems almost weird to me when you say the word vision. I almost picture a woman with a crystal ball and very mystical, what's your vision? I asked my 18-year-old daughter one morning at breakfast, which you might not want to ask them anything at breakfast, I don't know. What's your vision? Do you have a vision for your life? And she had the cereal that she was eating almost came out of her nose. She started laughing so hard. Like, what? And we laughed and we laughed. Now, the truth is that she does have a vision for her life. She doesn't have all the details worked out, but she's a great musician. She's going to Miami, Oxford. Any Miami folks here? Yeah. See, if I said the Ohio State, dang, okay, I'm going to start a fight right here in church. Usually if you say the Ohio State, there's always a few annoying people that are all like, oh, you know. But I say Miami, Oxford, and you're waiting for me to say, are any of you from Miami? Yes, we are. See, it's just a difference I've noticed. She's going to Miami. She's studying music education. She wants to be a band director eventually, maybe going to conducting. She doesn't have all the details figured out, but she actually does have a vision for her life. But as soon as I say, do you have a vision for your life? It seems, I mean, I don't feel like my life and the mundane things I'm doing day by day are so important that I, you know, vision for your life. What? And I asked my other daughter, she's 21, what's your vision for your life? Again, it was the morning time, and she said, she actually said, rolls eyes. Do you know what that means? Me neither. Okay, so, and she said, this guy, like, what are you doing asking me this question so early in the morning? Vision, what is the vision that you have? What is the vision that I have for my kids? As I was raising my children, what's the vision that I have? Sometimes the vision was simply, let them live. What's my vision for my marriage? We celebrate 23 years today. Today. Yeah. Yeah. I know you're clapping for her right now. Making her sign up for another 23 years. What's the vision? I think most of the time my wife's vision for our marriage is let him live, you know? When you think about the idea of having a vision, it feels too large. I want to help us tie that in, of course, into our relationship with Jesus. As you're thinking about 2019, what's the vision that you have for 2019? What's the vision that we have as a church for 2019? Does God have a vision for your life? Undoubtedly, when I gave my life back to Christ 20-some years ago, I had a sense that he wanted to do something with my life. And I did actually have a sense that it would probably be in church work of some kind. I had no idea that I would be so blessed to be here at that time. I wouldn't have been able to handle that vision at that time, but I had a sense and kind of a knowing of what he was doing. So what is vision? How do we come to that? Does he have a vision for us? What does that look like? I think too many times there can be pressure, especially on people like me, or if you're leading an organization, that people say, what's your vision? Like, you're going to paint this crystal clear picture of a preferred future that's going to motivate people through every test and trial that they're going to face for the next 360 whatever days. And you know that's not even possible. Matter of fact, you say, man, a great coach, a great leader would be able to paint this picture. Like an NFL team, for example, just for example, an NFL team, you say, what's the vision of the coach? You already know what the vision is, right? The vision is win a Super Bowl. You paint the picture for them. Maybe, for example, in my history, you'd say, what does that actually look like? I know Cincinnati, we don't know yet, but we're going to know eventually what that looks like. But in 1985, the Chicago Bears knew what that looked like. They had this crystal. Oh, thank you, my new best friend. I'm talking to this side of the room now. But you paint this picture, you say at the end of the season, you're going to hoist the best coach in the NFL's history on your shoulders, and you're going to have Richard Dent there and Willie Gault. I know you know the players, Kevin Butler. When you know the kicker from 1985, you're a hopeless Bears fan. And Buddy Ryan, the greatest defense in the world, and you paint this picture. And it's one thing to have that picture. Yes, you need that picture. But you won't live off of that picture. It was Tom Landry, coach of the Dallas Cowboys, who said, discipline. Oh, see, now we've started something. And they won, and oh, brother, okay, I got to move on now. It was Tom Landry who said, discipline is what a coach puts grown men through that they don't want to do. Have them do the things they don't want to do in order to get the things they've always wanted to have. And that's a lot. When I think about vision, that's what I think. We can paint a crystal clear picture of a preferred future, but you and I know as we live this life, there's going to be ebbs and flows to it. There's going to be hills and there's going to be valleys. Some of you, if you were completely honest, you'd say, I'm so glad 2018 is over. Like, forget that year. I'm ready to start a brand new year. I'm ready for that year to be done. And you may have had a vision of what 2018 was going to be like, but you don't know every single detail of how the Lord is leading you through. And it's the same way every year when I stand here before you, we think of 2019 and we don't know all the details. But by the end of this message, I'll give you a bit of a vision, what I think, what God is doing among us and our church. God, I believe, has a vision for who we are, not just where we will go and what we will do. Not just where we will go and what we will do, but who we are. Now, I really do like this book by Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss writes at my level, and I appreciate it. And I want to what I appreciate about Oh, the Places You Will Go is that in Oh, the Places You Will Go, there's an honest ebb and flow to what happens in life. There's some honesty in this. In this book, I'm going to read a part of it to you. My bookmark just happens. Oh, look, it's a Project 345. Who knew? I'll probably mention this weekend and every weekend hereafter. It only takes an average of 3 minutes and 45 seconds to read a chapter a day. We don't have a relationship, personal relationship with the Bible. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, whose Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. But we learn about him by reading the word. I'll encourage you in a way that I encouraged. A young girl had come up to me in the hallway with her family, and she talked about how she was reading her Bible, and I was so impressed. And I said, now, when you go and you have a day where you don't read your Bible, I said, don't feel guilty or bad. You know, just check that date and let Jesus read that chapter for you. And she said, oh, okay. And her mom later told me, that really set her free. So I just wanted to share that with you if you're struggling with, like, yeah, let Jesus read the chapters you don't read and get on with it the next day. Here's what it says in one part of Dr. Seuss. Oh, the places you'll go. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Doesn't that sound great for 2019? Except when you don't. My favorite line of the whole book. Except when you don't. Because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. Can I get an amen? Amen. You can get all hung up. I'm preaching from Dr. Seuss. I love it. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in the lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. Isn't that true? I hope today you get unslumped with us. next part that I really enjoy, the honesty of the hills and valleys of life. Oh, the places you'll go. There is fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame. You'll be famous as famous can be with the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Except when they don't. Well, you relate to this page better than the other one, don't you? Because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too, games you can't win because you'll play against you. In this coming year, yeah, the games that you'll play, winning and losing, will be games that you'll be playing as Christ is being formed in you. As Christ is, see, this is the greatest challenge, that Christ doesn't remove us from every obstacle in our life. He walks through those obstacles with us and makes us more like Him. He doesn't vanquish every mountain. He doesn't cast every mountain into the sea, but He journeys with us and makes us more like Him through all of it. There is nothing happening in your life right now that the nearness of Christ won't cure. And there's nothing happening in your life right now, in your business right now, in your relationship right now, that isn't allowing you the opportunity to press into your relationship with Christ. The greatest struggle that you have right now, the greater the pressure, the greater the potential that it can press you into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And in Him, you'll find everything that you're looking for when you've been looking for it elsewhere. And the very thing that presses you into that deeper relationship with Him, as big of a trial or struggle as it may be, will in the future be something you look back upon and thank God for, because it made you know Him more. I just rhymed. I think I'm turning into Dr. Seuss. Let me give you this example. See, when we think about a big, huge, we need a vision for our life and make a vision statement for 2019. I want it to be simpler and more accessible than that. We think about a huge vision. We think about, you know, people who are changing the world. And so, for example, if you walk over to the healing center, and you look at that healing center, you look at that building, you say, what an incredible vision. And it's true. Pastor Dave Workman stood right here and cast this incredibly big vision to build the healing center. And in the Luke 4 challenge, this church gave millions and millions of dollars to build that building so that people can be loved and people can be cared for. But before the grand vision, that ministry was called Mercy Works. And it occupied a small space, and before that, it occupied a smaller space. And before that, it was just a church with Steve Shogren who wanted to go out and hand out water bottles and sticks of gum and, like, wash toilets in businesses. I'm so glad those days are over. But that was all motivated by what? A simple love for people. You want to hear something we're going to do in 2019 as a church? Keep loving people. This is what God has called us to do. And it's not because we are so great and we love people, but it's because He loves us. And so we said, you know, what we want to do is the love that God has given us, we just want to share that, no strings attached, with the people that are around us. The greatest thrill of our life is sharing the love of God with other people, being generous with them and giving them things that maybe they think they don't even deserve, and helping them and loving them, and then hoping that they take that generosity and they look at that and they say, maybe God really loves me. And maybe that generosity opens their heart a little bit to the possibility that there is a God in the universe who cares deeply for them. And all of this is begun by simple believers in Jesus Christ who have been loved by Him and then want to love other people. 1 John 4:19 says it this way: we love because He first loved us. We actually love with His love. And so you end with this incredible vision of the healing center, but it all starts off in your relationship with God. What's God doing in your life right now? He is at work. He's wanting to make you more like Jesus. And so what you're finding in as you're reading and as you're praying, as you're living your life, as you're trying to trust him more and more, you're finding more love, more peace, more patience. How many of you will say that because of the work of Jesus in your life, you're more patient now than you used to be? Anybody? Would you say that you could grow in patience? Anyone? Yeah, your hands went up just as quick. Goodness, faithfulness. You know why I'm a faithful person? Do you know why I'm faithful? Because Jesus makes me faithful. You say any goal that you have for 2019, every issue is a discipleship issue. So anything you're trying to do, I'm encouraging you, instead of just putting it out there to the universe, saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be that, make sure that that's all married with the idea that Jesus is at work in you. Say, Lord, I have this thing that I'd really love to, will you come along with me and will you help me in this? And let's do this thing together. What are you doing in me? And I'll partner with you in that. Instead of going out and asking God to join you on your mission, get involved in his mission, and you'll be sure by the end of the year, you're going to win because you're involved with him. So, for example, the Healing Center started with just, you know, we're loving people. This year, I got this impact report from the executive director, from our friend Monica, and on this impact report, it says that there were 4,215 unique households that were ministered to in 2018. Think of that, 4,000 households that were ministered to, 16,589 household visits, over $500,000 in food was given away, and we are now the second largest food pantry in all of Cincinnati for the glory of God. Man. How did we do that? You know how we did that? We just started with God loving us and wanting to love others. And then we serve and we sacrifice and we give. You know, every dollar that we give in terms of building the healing center and make that happen every single week, every single month, we get about $3 in return in volunteer work and other monies. That your money invested here is a great investment. Let me talk for just a second. Begin the year talking about stuff we like to talk about. Let's talk about money for a second. The fact that the room just got a little colder shows that we ought to talk about money, because money's a part of your relationship with God. There's a lot of new folks who are coming to church here, and I know when you come to church and you're kind of new to church, you're wondering, yeah, every church is after your money. I don't know if that's true. I can tell you that there's a couple reasons that, well, the main reason I would talk about money is because I want to help you live your life with an open hand before God. Now, when you let go of your money, you're having to trust this place, for one. It's why we have an audit from experts every year, not an internal audit, but our finance team endures an external audit every single year, and we score the highest you can score in that audit every single year. Why? Because the money that we give is, I'm going to stand accountable before the Lord for every dollar that's spent. And I want you to know that you can trust this place with your money. But the second reason is probably even more important. After you say, well, okay, I trust this place. And you can also know the preacher doesn't have like a personal jet flying around, right? I would never buy a personal jet. They're much cheaper to rent. That's a joke. If you're new, it's a joke. We do that. They're not all good jokes. They're not all funny, but they're... Pray for me. The other part is yes, trusting here, but if you're new, the bigger issue is this. With our money, we struggle with trusting God. This may be the largest area of our life and heart that we struggle, because we're greedy and we're worried and we're fearful that God can't take care of us. And how can he take care of me if I give away what I do have and I already don't have enough? Trust God. I don't know if you'll ever show God any more trust than giving what he's given to you. And as you're faithful in that, you're going to find new levels of freedom. The Bible says that in the same measure that you give, gosh, is the same measure that he will bless you with. If you're not giving, as your pastor, my heart goes to you, because you're missing out on some of God's generosity in your own life. And I don't want you to miss that. And so, and then my promise to you is this. We'll be faithful with the money that you give, and we'll probably give it all away. That's my promise. The last service clapped when I said we're going to give it all away, but oh well. That's the Bears fan. That's the Bears fan. I'm still with you, man. I'm still with you. If you want this impact report, you can actually get this. I wanted to give this to every single one of you on your way out, but to save some money, what we did was if you'll just text the word healing to 97000. You won't offend me if you get your phones out. Some of you have already been on them all service, so it's okay. I just know you're tweeting great stuff. That's what I know. If you just type healing to 97000, you'll be able to access this, and we'll send this whole thing to you. You'll be able to look through that. I encourage you, if you're giving and you're part of the church, you're going to want to see that impact report. Vision. Vision. Do you have a vision for 2019? So here's what I'm going to say. Make sure some of you are thinking about this new year and you're writing down New Year's resolutions and you're thinking about it. I would encourage you to make sure that your vision is connected to how Christ is being formed in you. Let me explain this. This is what God is up to in the world. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And Christ is being formed in you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God is making you and me more and more like Christ. This is the whole point. Go and make disciples of all nations, Jesus said. This is the ultimate mission, and that's what he's doing in you. What is God doing in you right now? What's the work that he's doing now? What has he been speaking to you about? What has been standing out to you as you read his word? What have the people in your life been saying? What's God up to right now in this season of your life? And as you think about those things, you can make those goals and that vision. What's he doing in your business right now? I mean, what's he doing in the work that you're doing? What's he doing at the workplace right now? Where's the points of pressure? Where are the areas where you know this is where God is leading me to grow? This is what he's wanting me to do. And if you'll write your vision along these ideas of what the Lord is doing in me, then you'll be more apt to fulfill those because you'll be doing those with him. Christ is being formed in you. Galatians 4:19 says this. Paul's writing to a church there, and he says, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Paul here is writing to a church that he had gone on these journeys and he had shared Christ with all these people and kind of an evangelistic journey, and then all of these folks had given their life to Jesus. Their life had been totally changed and they formed these churches and got pastors in place, and then he came back around after he had done this evangelism and he'd come back around to check in on the churches, and he found that this one church, they had given their life to Jesus, which this amazing grace that we live in. That we get to enjoy the freedom and the grace of the forgiveness of sins, and all of our trust is in Jesus. None of it's in ourselves. But we just trust him and what he did for us on the cross. And all of these folks were coming out. Most of them were coming out of Judaism and the legalistic and the laws and everything that they were trying to do to be satisfying to God. And now they've been shown the way through Christ. You can have faith in Jesus Christ. He paid for your sins, and now you can live by grace as you trust in him. And this is a totally different ball game, where you can really trust that God loves you in spite of what you've done. He doesn't love you because of what you've done. He loves you because of who he is. And you can never earn it, and you can never outrun it, and you can never out-sin it. This is amazing, like this grace that they're living in. But when Paul came back, he realized that they were being fooled and tricked by these other so-called preachers who were coming through. And they were in bondage again. And it grieved Paul so much. And when he thought about the fact that he had been there before and they had given their life to Christ, and now, how does he describe it? He describes it like childbirth again. Why? That Christ would be formed in you. The question that we need to ask as believers in Jesus this coming year is, what is Christ doing in me? And how is he being formed in me? This is what changes the world. Not a whole lot of people with all the right answers. What changes the world is people who have the light of Jesus Christ in them as personal evidence for everything that you say and do with the people that you're around. You could go to them with a list of what is right, or you can go to them with Christ. You can go to them with forgiveness and with grace and with mercy and with faith and all these things that you're talking about that Jesus has for them. But when they see it, it's completely different. This is the way that God has designed it. He's so interested in who you're becoming. I don't think he's as interested in where we're going and what we're going to do. You say, Pastor Rob, tell us what we're going to do and where we're going to go. Man, the sky's the limit because I know who he's making us become. And that's the point. Remember when Jesus was calling the disciples? He said, these fishermen were out there, and he said, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. He did not say, follow me, and oh, the places you will go. Oh my gosh, if you just come and follow me, you're going to go to amazing places. He did not say that because almost all of them, except for John, who would be sent to an island, would all be martyred. They didn't want to know the places that they were going to go. And one time the Apostle Peter actually asked Jesus, well, what about John? What about this one? What about that one? Jesus said, don't worry about all of them. Just think about what I've got for you. And he was pointing to the fact that the Apostle Peter was going to be martyred. Jesus did not say, imagine the phenomenal destinations. He said, I will make you become. This is the best part about Christianity. I'm a different person standing here this year than last year. And you're a different person sitting here now this year than you were last year. Because Christ is doing a work in you. And some of the time this past year, if you were like me, you resisted it. And he did his work. And some of the times you were open to it. And he did his work. You remember that Footprints in the Sand? Little cute poem. You remember that? Footprints in the Sand? Held me in his hand, and there's one set, and there's two sets, and they made a cheesy song about it back in whenever. Sometimes it's heel prints in the sand. That's where you drag me. That's not what you want in 2019. You want him to carry you. You want to depend on him. Sometimes it's just butt prints in the sand. That's where you just sat there. Let's set some high standards for 2019. No butt prints in the sand, y'all. No heel prints in the sand. If you're a guest, it's been nice knowing you. Glad you were here for a weekend. He preaches from Dr. Seuss and talks about butt prints in the sand. Listen, it's less about, oh, the places you will go, and more about, oh, the person you will become. It's less about, oh, the things that this church will do, and it's more about who God is making us into as his people. As he puts his love in our heart and his compassion, the sky is the limit with what we could do. There's people suffering right now of opioid addiction. And we could, man, think of what we could do where we could help see them come out of that. We could build houses. We could buy houses. We could have, the dreams are unlimited. But it starts, before you get to that big vision, where it starts with is what is God doing in your heart? Because that's what will sustain you through the year, the ebbs and the flows of life. Not just that end picture that's beautiful, but every single day who you're becoming in him. In the healing center, it was called the Luke 4 Challenge when Pastor Dave shared it with the church. And the church gave millions of dollars and built the healing center. And so Luke chapter 4, that passage is on the waterfall. When you go into the healing center, you can see it. And this is a passage where Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth, and he's reading from Isaiah. And when he reads this out of Isaiah, then he says to all of them in the synagogue, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, I'm the man. And that's when they wanted to kill him and actually took him out to a cliff there in Nazareth where they wanted to push him off. Here's what he said as he read, Jesus read from Isaiah. It says this in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Listen to this. This is what the kingdom of God is. Recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of the Lord's favor. So what I've done is I've taken this passage and I've said, here's what I'm believing for, and here's what I'm seeing as your pastor for 2019 for us as a body of believers. From this passage, which is inscribed there in the Healing Center, 2019, I believe that we can, from Scripture, by faith, say this is the kind of year that we're going to have. I think this is the kind of year that you can always have when you're trusting in the Lord. Number one, we can say this with confidence. The Spirit of the Lord is going to be upon us, and we are anointed. I want to remind you that you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing from Him. When you have the Holy Spirit, that is the anointing from Almighty God that breaks the bondages, the addictions, and the stuff that you're going through that you want to see yourself grow in freedom. You have an anointing. You can wake up every single day this year, look in the mirror and say, Father, I thank you that you've anointed me with the power of your Holy Spirit. And where I'm weak, you're strong. In the areas where I fail, Father, you're going to come through and be victorious. In the areas where I don't know, you have all knowledge and you know all things. Father, I thank you for your precious anointing you've anointed me with. God, I thank you. I don't have to pull myself up by my bootstraps this year, but you are, by your grace, going to sustain me. You're going to sustain me. The first thing we can say is, Lord, your Spirit is upon us and we're anointed. Second thing is this. We're going to proclaim good news this year to the poor. That's what we do, and we're not going to stop doing that. There are going to be people who need the gospel, who need help, who need practical help, and we're going to proclaim all year long His good news. The third thing we're going to do is this. I believe that people that are addicted and captive and in bondage will be set free this year. There are people right now who, unfortunately, in our area, are addicted and are captive, and Jesus came to set the captives free. And He's going to use us to see people break free. Some are even in this room. You're going to be free this year. I believe that. And folks, what's wonderful is we're not sending this stuff out into the universe. We're going to the Word of God, the power of God, the kingdom of God, and the Spirit of God. He's saying this is what's going to happen. The next thing I would believe is this. Just a couple more. I believe that oppressed people will be set free, and blind people will see. People right now who are depressed and even suicidal in this area, I don't know if you know this or not, but we live in one of the most emotionally depressed areas of the country. And I believe God wants to set people free. People who are now depressed, who are now in darkness, who are even now suicidal, by the Spirit of God, I believe He wants to bring them into light and bring them set free and set them free. And there are people like me and many in the room who, because of your relationship with Jesus, the Spirit of God has set you free from that. And I believe He wants to do that. The last is this. This year is going to be a year that I believe we will see the Lord's favor with us in big ways. I really sense His favor with us. And you need His favor. You can have His voice and He can tell you what to do, but when you go and do that thing, then you need the wind of His grace. And I believe there's just going to be favor in your life and on the life of our church to do what He's asking us to do. The Message paraphrase says this statement, this phrase like this in Luke 4. It says, God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free. I love that. To set the burdened and battered free. And to announce this is God's year to act. As you're praying through this coming year, you say, Lord, I'm believing what you've said, that this is your year to act. Vineyard Cincinnati vision for 2019, I believe, is going to be a year, if you write this down, of favor and freedom. Favor and freedom. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing for. Would you stand with me? We'll pray before we go. These are two things you cannot get too much of. Favor and freedom. That's what we're believing for this year. Would you bow your heads with me and we'll pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. And God, I ask you that as we spend time with you, as we talk to family and friends, as we're in groups, that we would talk about this coming year and we would think about favor and freedom. God, help us to identify the areas in our life where you're working on us so that we can partner with you and get your vision for the coming year. God, I ask you that as a church, we would do everything that you're asking us to do. God, that we would reach every person that you want us to reach, that we would care for every person that you want us to care for, that you would bring people out of darkness into your marvelous light this year as a result of the work that we're doing in your kingdom. We thank you, Father, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.